So many amazing personalities are there that exist eternally. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada is saying that now my spiritual master has left this world and he has entered into his Nitya Lila. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada writes in one letter how his spiritual master has now entered into Nitya Lila, his eternal pastimes. That meant his spiritual master had left the planet. And he says his spiritual master entered into these eternal pastimes as a manjari, one of the intimate associates of Srimati Radharani. And then, in a letter shortly after that, Srila Prabhupada writes that although my spiritual master has now entered into his Nitya Lila as a manjari, in other words, that he's now in the spiritual world, I'm sure he's still watching everything I do. So that was a very significant point. That even although the spiritual master had returned back to the spiritual, still looking down, still here, still looking at everything the disciple does. How can we understand that relationship between guru and disciple? Which is not only existing here in the material world, but continues. Continues after. The spiritual master, his commitment is deep. His commitment is remaining. There's a reference that at one point in the early days of ISKCON, which started in the 60s and early 70s, a time when a lot of people in the world would smoke certain substances. And at one point, one of the leaders had gotten into difficulty and he was also smoking unsmokable things. And then when Prabhupada heard about it, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, the secretary, was on the phone with this leader who was in India. And Prabhupada said, tell him that he has to stop it. Prabhupada says, you have to stop it. Yes, tell him that if he doesn't stop it, that I will reject him. And the secretary said, Prabhupada says that if you don't stop it, he will reject you. And then he put the phone down. And then Tamal Krishna Raj turned to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, would you really reject him? And Prabhupada said, of course not. I'm just saying that to scare him. Because the spiritual master is not surprised. He's not to be surprised. He already thought of it before. Whatever can happen on the way to the spiritual world. Durgame patimendasya skalat padakatirmuhu yet kripa swasti de danena santa santavalambanam. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says it in the Antya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he says that my path, this spiritual path, is very difficult. My feet are slipping again and again, but by the stick of the mercy of the devotees as my support, I can stay on the path. So, yes, to stay on this path, that is the purpose of this initiation. At this initiation, we are fully getting entrance on the path. Today, we will receive the Maha Mantra. It's like one of those birthdays, you know, where you open the parcel and you look inside and there's a gift that you already have, you know, and you try to sort of look happy, but you are not. That's good. Oh my God, I already have that. Oh, thank you so much. Today, you will receive the Maha Mantra. Say, like, I already got it long ago. No, I got it. The devotees gave it to me when I came to the temple, right? Yes, that may be true. But there is something more that will come along with that Maha Mantra, because when the spiritual master is giving us those beats, we know that he's chanted on those beats. So there are some blessings there. That's good. Devotees always lose their beats and always come back and always ask if you can chant again on the beats. So please don't lose them. Because I don't want to chant on them again. No. But the thing is this. Is that there is more than that. More than just a blessing. As the mantra is given today, in the form of those beads, there is also the prayer of the spiritual master. And that we never had before. And it is that prayer of the spiritual master that makes all the difference. It is that prayer that will keep us on the path. It is through that prayer of the spiritual master that we can do it, that we become empowered to do what otherwise we could not do. How can we promise to follow these vows for a life? An entire lifetime. I have sat in a few initiations myself. The last one was the sannyas initiation. And I must say that while I was sitting in the yajna, I was sweating. And it wasn't just because of the heat of the fire. It was because of the heat of the vows. I was thinking, can I really do this? Can I really do it? It is possible. It can be done. If we just remember that there is the prayer of our spiritual master, the mercy of our spiritual master. The spiritual master is not Srila Prabhupada is saying in one lecture, is not like a pet. That I have one too. You have one also. Yes, yes, I have one. Yes, a spiritual master. Yes. it's a nice looking one, yes. Pin the button, this is him. The little button on the beat bag. This is him, all right. Nice, very nice, yes, yes. No, it goes much further. It is the spiritual master who is, he is the external manifestation of the super soul. He is Krishna's representative. He is there who is in our life. And it that makes all the difference. The spiritual master is our best friend, Sudrida Suridam. There is firm friendship. We know we can trust him. Now I can't see you anymore, Anuradha. That's not good. Thank you. So, the spiritual master is our friend. And we can trust him. It is trust that is essential. In spiritual life, no one can do it alone. No one. There's no way. Alone we will never make it. There's no question. And we must be able to open our mind, our hearts, and tell the truth. Spiritual life depends on the truth. It is spiritual life is not a masquerade. Material life is a masquerade. There's a lot of distraction in the back, and I'm seeing that the initiates are all the time distracted, and then I'm unhappy. Should they come and sit in the front? I would be much happier. Can you both come with your chairs and sit in the front? Because I'm talking to them and not to anybody else, actually. The others, they can all hear it. I don't care. But I'm talking for them. Bring your chairs, your sofas, whatever you need. No, you can both have a chair. I'm happy about that. I'm sorry for the others, but you know.
I'm really sorry to disturb you.
Spiritual life is based on the truth. It is about the absolute truth. We are receiving the absolute truth, and we must receive that truth in truth. We cannot lie to the spiritual master. Of course we can lie to anybody, that's easy, but that's not the basis of the relationship. The basis of the relationship is that we must be honest. Honest about wherever we are. And then it will work. Because the spiritual master has real solutions that he can give us if we are real. If we are sort of like saying, how are you? Yes, 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 I'm very fine. And 3 days later, you know, we just give up Krishna consciousness. That means we did not open. We were not truthful. That's misfortune. That makes it difficult. So truth is the basis of the whole thing, honesty on all sides. In that way, I'm also in this entire process in all honesty. The first thing I must say is I am not Srila Prabhupada or anywhere like Srila Prabhupada. I am just his servant. I am just simply trying to to live by his directions and also the directions of my spiritual master. And in that way, I can do it on my own. Who am I? On my own, nobody special. I did not take a special birth. Say, I took a low birth in the Netherlands, which is a pretty low place, if you want to know. If you had any doubts about it, it's definitely low. Right? So, what can I say? It wasn't that. But there was grace. There was mercy. Grace of the grace of India, a land where so much mercy is still preserved. There was the grace of people who had been touched by Prabhupada, although they didn't follow him, but still they had some attachment and they brought the holy name into my life. And then I came closer and closer to the devotees. I saw this devotee in 1975 in Benares. I wanted to meet him. And then he crossed the street, and next moment the traffic got in between, and I lost him. Krishna's arrangement. Everything is Krishna's arrangement. Brahmanda. What is it? Brahmandi Brahmite Kune Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasada Paya Bhaktanata Pinch. It is by the arrangement of Krishna that we get Guru, and by the arrangement of Guru that we get Krishna. So here we are today. It is an arrangement of Krishna that we have to understand. Krishna saw in us something, some sincerity. He said, all right, I'll give you a chance. So it is a unique opportunity. It is a once in so many lifetimes opportunity, a very precious opportunity. The greatest gift, the greatest gift. We may not fully understand how great that gift is, because it may not just come again so easily. If we let it go, yes, we'll get another opportunity, but not just so easy. Sometimes you get this philosophy, yes, well, devotional service, the benefit is never lost, so if you don't do it today, we'll do it tomorrow. No. You have to earn it again. Somehow or other, we earned the grace of Krishna. If we would lose it, we have to earn it again. It's not just, okay, take another opportunity off the shelf. No. It's a golden opportunity today, a golden opportunity. So, Subhagya, greatly fortunate. The occasion is greatly fortunate. Initiation is not just an empty ritual. Basically, the Sanskrit is referring to diksha. And diksha is referred to as a transformation process. It is said just as in alchemy, right? They used to take ordinary bell metal, and then in some way or other, gold, turn into gold, real gold. So diksha is that process. It's a transformation. It's a transformational process. And this initiation is, we go in one way and we come out in another way. We come out as a new person and at the same time a little bit also the same, but yet not the same. Not the same. Karmically not the same. Totally uplifted to another level. Suddenly picked up and placed on another level. Karma is transferred at the time of initiation. How much depends on Krishna. But the point is that we are now getting uplifted, ready to go forward, empowered. This initiation is not just a change of name. This initiation is not just a matter of I'm making some promises here to the Guru. And anyway, we're not making the promises to the Guru because Guru Krishna Rupaya Shastra Praman, Guru Rupa Krishna Kripa Karena Bhakta Gan. It is the Guru who is the representative of Krishna. That's what all the scriptures say. And through the Guru, Krishna is delivering the disciple. It is Krishna who delivers the disciple. Remember that picture where the devotee is in the ocean and where Krishna comes on the back of Garuda and grabs him by the seeker? Yeah? And the ladies have a tail in the back. It's even easier to catch, you know, although some guys are big seekers. But whatever, maybe. Pull them straight out. So it is Krishna who saves us from this ocean of birth and death. Guru is the representative. So today, we're making the promise to Krishna. So, that's it. Then, wherever we go, Krishna is already there. So Krishna always knows. So don't think just to me, no, to Krishna. I'm just his representative. These vows are not ordinary. These vows empower us. These vows, they change us. These promises. And the prayer of the spiritual master. And it is a whole thing where we become changed. And suddenly what we could not do before, we can do now. So we must have great confidence that we will be able to go forward with that mercy. It is as long as we take shelter of the mercy. Oh yes, the mercy doesn't just come in the form of this initiation, that initiation, it's also beginning. So it is a beginning. No, the mercy comes in the form of Divya Jnana, of transcendental knowledge. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshura Miritam Yana Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. The spiritual master opens our darkened eyes with the torch light of transcendental knowledge. We begin to see what we didn't see before. We begin to see the cruelty in this world. We see how people treat animals. We see how people treat others. And we just realize cruelty is such an undesirable thing. Therefore, how nice is this principle of ahimsa, of non-violence. It said, udvega nadiba, don't cause anxiety to any living being. Therefore, this no meat, fish, or eggs, no, a spirit of compassion. See? Deep compassion. That we said, no, I'm not going to be part of all that suffering. No. Just intoxication. Oh, we see it. Someone has a habit, a bad habit, whether it is alcohol or whether it is a drug or whatever it is. It has become an addiction. Oh yes, an Alcohol Anonymous, right? And it's okay, the group is together and they're all talking together about giving it up. But don't put a bottle in front of me. Oh, please, take it away. It destroys our willpower. Intoxication. It makes our will weaker and weaker day by day. Where we just can no longer fix our mind on anything. Where we can no longer say, I will do. Yes, and then we will do. But chanting Hare Krishna is the opposite. It gives us that strength. It gives us that willpower and that determination by which we can say, yes, I will go this path. So the chanting is very important and must be done nicely. Of course, life is also there, you know. Tell me all about it. I also have a life and 16 rounds to chant every day. And some days I'm like, I have a headache and a fork in my head and my nose is dripping and I'm tired and I've got a jet lag and I feel like staying under the blankets and it's like tough and I gotta chant and it's just... So it's not always easy. There are days that it is a little bit of austerity. But otherwise, the chanting is actually nice because it's so filled with mercy. It's so filled with kindness. So the chanting, it brings so much goodness. So let us chant and bring that into our life. Illicit sex, there's no end. Because it doesn't satisfy. Try one, try another, and another, and another, and another, and another. And get unwanted pregnancies on the way, or get some disease on the way, and some diseases. Yeah, we're going to change the neck beats after. I'm going to do it. Now is first the talk, and then we'll change. Then we do Achman, then we change the neck beats, then we give the beats. So everything. Foolish hope that somehow or other we'll get that big, big money. One devotee, his mother bought him a lottery ticket and she gave it to him. He says, oh no, mama, we can't do that. No, that's not allowed. It's against the principle. She said, anyway, I bought it for you and I'm not taking it back. She threw it at him. So then, like, he's thinking, what am I going to do if I throw it away and I win? I will never forgive myself, right? She's thinking, what do I do? You know what? I'll put it in the Bhagavad Gita, and if I win, I'll give all the money to Krishna. It was in Australia. He won $1 million. But then came the test. Even when we thought it wasn't there, so like gambling, it just increases and increases day by day. And then we just lose everything. That's horrible. So these four regulative principles are very nice. They are actually offering a better quality of life. Anything that is not to do with the four regulative principles is actually misery. So, you know, really he was saying, from this day on, I will not mix with misery anymore. So it's not so bad, actually. You know, misery is over. That's what it's about. Because these are all miserable things, actually. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I don't know if I should tell a story of the past or not, but... But I upon a time when I was much younger, before the Hare Krishna movement, I had a girlfriend. And one night I came home and she was with my best friend. And they said, there are the very nice vibrations between us and we don't need you here. So that was a bit much. And I was walking in the street thinking about the situation. And it was just the day that they were putting the garbage outside. So I kicked over a garbage can, which is, you know, not a serious thing. Within 20 seconds, I couldn't believe how fast the police was there. I was put against the wall, I was handcuffed, I was arrested, and I was put in jail. And you can imagine how I felt the whole night thinking about this situation. But it's too much. It is just too much. Too much. This material life is just too much. So we're very fortunate. Finished. It's over. It's not necessary anymore. No longer required. Now forward. Now we have shelter. Shelter of this process, shelter of these vows, shelter of this knowledge, shelter of Krishna Prasadam, ah, yes, shelter of the devotees, shelter of the deities, ah, so much shelter, ah, shelter of the holy name, somehow or other, shelter of Vrindavan, is it like, yes, sometimes you just have to go, right? Every devotee, every once in a while, even if it costs money, you have to go to Vrindavan just for the sake of recharging and getting some inspiration. All these things are there. Radha Yatra, yes. Jai Jagannath, pull the rope. We have to do these things. So all these things are really our spiritual life. Spiritual life is not just happening. Spiritual life, you have to construct it. You have to put things into your life. I will chant every day. Oh yes, I will also make an offering to the deities. I'll never go to the temple without bringing something. If it is even one flower, a fine one flower, bring it. A fruit, a bottle of milk, whatever it is. Some jewelry for the deities, but something I'll always, every time I come, I'll bring. If you do that for a longer period of time, oh, see how powerful that is. See what a relationship you develop, and Krishna will remember. Oh, yeah, oh, that's this. She brought me up. Oh, yeah, nice. Same thing, you know, it's like, and someone gives you gifts every day, and after a while, after a while you melt. Men know these things. They exploit it sometimes. But in the case with Krishna, we can do these things. So spiritual life is not just from, well, I have made my promises and that's my spiritual life. No, put in these special things. Build up a spiritual life, make it rich with service, rich with things we do for Krishna. Well, there's an harmonium. Well, you know. You know, it is such a wealth. It's like I was saying to Bhakti Nidhi, I was feeling really tired and saying, oh, I'm exhausted. Another day, you know, never, I want a break. And then he points at our audience, this is time. You'll be ecstatic. He's right. Now I'm ecstatic. Yeah. It's like that. Such a gift, just to have that. So we need to bring these things in. We should learn the instruments. We should learn, practice, because it's an opulence, you know. You see these people, they play cartels, you know. They don't just play cartels. They have like... those ones, or these guys that play madangi, you know, it's like you go ha and they already go like and you know, but there's taste there. All these things bring taste. It's not just like, you know, I promise to follow for regular basic principle 4 and to chant 16 rounds. And now I have so much taste. I'm totally ecstatic. No, you must do all these things. Something for bring a gift for the deities. Just, you know, read actually. Say, okay, if you're not a big reader, at least say, I read one verse a day. One verse. Just before I take rest or in the morning, I read, when I get up, I read one verse a day, one verse. But that one verse we read every day becomes our meditation. Then, little by little, these verses enter into our mind, into our thinking, and we remember them during the day. I read that this morning. And that verse will stay with us. Just read one verse a day. So I'm talking all about small things. But all these little small things that we do, they build a spiritual life. If spiritual life is only promising to follow 4 regulated principles and chanting 16 rounds, then spiritual life is like, it's like a jail. Become locked up. We must fill it. We must fill that spiritual life with nectar. It's here. But now we must take a little trouble to get it. Like going to Vrindavan. This is really nice. Recently we went to Vrindavan and then we did a nice thing one day. We went to Govardhan and we collected different rocks from the hill. And then we put them on another bigger rock that was sort of on its own. And we used the big rock as an altar. And then we drew faces with Tilak on all these Shivas. And then we did like a big puja with flowers. And we bathing them, massaging them with oil. And it was lots of fun, actually. It really was nice. It stayed with us. It did something. Whatever it was, you know, we left Vrindavan now. Now we are in Stockholm, I think. And, yeah, today, at least. I mean, tomorrow, Munich, Leipzig. Yeah, okay. But whatever, we are here. But this is still with us a little bit. So, like this, one must build, one must do things, something. And then spiritual life becomes rich and inspired and full of juice. It's not about big austerities. You know, I'm going to fast for 40 days until I see the light. It's not required in bhakti yoga. In bhakti yoga, we don't need to fast for 40 days. Janmashtami, if possible, we fast till midnight. All the way, and then. Sari Radha Chitam, our favorite mantra. Sari Radha Vijajala, that was Tapas's thing. The senses are a network of death. And that's what we sing every day. Sari Radha Vijajala, the senses are a network leading to death. Favorite song. Yeah. Like that. No, but so this is the idea. Well, okay. There is a lot that we can learn how to find more nectar in Krishna consciousness. And this is what the initiation is about. It's an initiation, not just into the regulative principles and into the chanting of the Maha Mantra. It is an initiation in where to find the nectar. And then I pointed in this lecture at some things. That is pointed at some things. Now it's up to you to do it, to go and collect it and just make it something, something really, really wonderful. And in this way, our spiritual life will unfold. We depend on the Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once mentioned. Now, anyone who is wearing tilak is blessing us just by that tilak. That's a blessing. So look around, you know, see all these people are blessing us here. It's like tilak everywhere. So that's pretty good. We are getting blessings. And blessings by the power of blessings. You know, it's very interesting that, you know, like nowadays, when a family has problems with having children, you know, like then they go to a hospital and they do this test and that test, and then they say, well, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, if we put freeze the semen and this and that, and like, you know, like they have all these artificial ways of doing things and somehow or other to get a child. In India, traditionally, they didn't do it that way. Had another way of approaching it. They would go to some holy place, perform some sacrifice, make an offering, do some austerity, right? And in order to attain blessings, right? And then, you know, and because they were thinking it's just my karma that is somehow or other obstructing it. But if the blessings are there, then this karma can be all overcome. So it is blessing. So we are always looking for blessings. Therefore, see that the Vaishnavas carry blessings. And therefore, we are always respectful to the Vaishnavas so that they will be kind to us and give us their blessings. And that's important. We need the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So that's another important tip. Whatever I'm saying is being recorded on that ugly machine down here, and, which is owned by Namarupa, by the way. So, she will give you the lecture. Is it? Yeah, thank you very much. So you keep that lecture, because the initiation lecture is something that you don't just hear it once, and maybe at the time of initiation you don't hear everything, you know, you miss something. But you listen to it again, and then you get some. It's not a lecture for a day. It's a lecture which is relevant for your entire spiritual life. This lecture can always give you some tip of how to bring new life into our spiritual activities. So that was my aim and my desire. I think now we'll just do a quick archman.